Thank you. Dewey.
The question was, what are the benefits and negatives that you see should a 15-year lease with White Pass pass?
Well, I think the benefits would be that at the end of the proposed lease, the municipality would become owners of improved dock facilities down there without extending our debt in the bond market. And it would lead to a little less divisiveness in the community. We would be working with White Pass for the benefit of both. I see that as a benefit. I think it's time to get rid of the mentality that appears to be rising in the community of it's either us or them. We can't do it together. Hey, this damned community has worked with White Pass for over 100 years. Some good things have happened. Some bad things have happened. That's life. So I think that the 15-year lease would give us an opportunity to, as a municipality, to identify management problems, come up with a management plan that would be solid and based on good knowledge, not running to cover event that we have to take over whether we're ready or not.
Roger.
Well, I think the benefits, I don't know, to be honest with you, I guess there is stability if White Pass had the lease for the next 20 years. You know, we wouldn't have to worry about whether what was going on with the port was benefiting the town. We wouldn't have to have any concerns about having any input on how the port was being developed because White Pass would be doing it for us. So that's probably a benefit. We wouldn't be spending endless hours in the assembly trying to negotiate a lease with them. So that would be a benefit. Drawbacks, I think that the biggest problem I see if we don't get some kind of an agreement with White Pass is that we've got to get that lead and mercury contamination cleaned up. But we don't need a lease to do it. And I think that if the lease doesn't go through, then there are other avenues that can be exercised to get this done. For example, the EPA and the DEC actually have the authority to require White Pass to do it. You know, and I think the city could work with those folks to do some leverage to do it. And perhaps we can sit down with White Pass, as Dewey suggested, and work together with them and come up with a solution that works for everyone. To be honest with you, one of the parts of the current MOU that I feel most positive about is the portion on contamination. I might be wrong with my exact numbers here, but I think that White Pass is going to come forward, proposes to come forward with $2.75 million. The city comes up with 1.25, and that should add up to about $4 million. And anything over that, then you know, we would go to look for the people who contributed to the mess. Am I out of time? Thank you.
Dave.
Yeah, well, 15-year lease extension is actually a 20-year lease. We're 5 years out now, so I honestly don't see a lot of advantages to entering into the lease. I'm very concerned that one of the conditions of the lease is tied to the cleanup. The cleanup negotiation has been going on for 27 years. This doesn't need to be tied together and shouldn't be. We should be doing these things separately. Now, saying all that, I mean, if the citizens voted for the lease, I think I would be a good person to be on the further negotiations. I think the only person running here today that successfully negotiated contracts with White Pass. And I've negotiated three when I was chairman of Engineman for White Pass. And so, you know, I understand them. But, you know, Juneau recently added two floating docks. One's 1,000 lineal feet, one's 1,150 lineal feet, at a cost of $54 million. And they're able to completely justify this and pay for it with a revenue bond based off the income that those will generate. And they earn $13 million a year off these two docks, and their expenses are $1.3 million a year. So, you know, I understand railroad docks owned by the railroad, and we only get 34% right now, but when these new docks go in and larger ships, those numbers are going to go up. And one of the big disadvantages of the lease is that the numbers are increased at 3.5% a year, and cruise ship passenger demand has gone up 62% in the last 10 years. And so if we were to try to negotiate with a lease with White Pass, it should have an accelerator in it that was based on passenger counts and not some arbitrary CPI or something like that.
Yes or no, do you support sending a new lease agreement to voters, Roger?
Do I support sending a new lease agreement to voters?
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, and I'm going to take that as a hypothetical statement. I mean, given that, first of all, if I'm elected to the Assembly, I would be opposed to passing such a lease, but let's assume the Assembly voted and said, yes, we're going to have this lease, then it needs to go to the voters. Absolutely. They've got to have the final say.
Thank you. Dave?
Yeah. Yes, I would support sending it to the voters. And with the caveat that we've already been down this road 2 years ago. This new lease is very similar in most respects to the one we just dealt with. So there needs to be a way of stating it so that we can conclusively move forward and not continue to do this every 2 years. I think that if the citizens and the Assembly would say there will be no new lease, that would increase the likelihood that we could come to agreement on the docks, because White Pass is holding us hostage to the cleanup and to the new dock construction for the express purpose of getting a new lease extension. Once they know that's not going to happen, a lot of possibilities open up that are positive for us.
Thank you. Dan?
Was it a yes or no question?
Yes. Yes or no?
My answer is yes.
Dewey?
Yes.
Philip?
Yes.
Okay. What is your plan B if voters reject a new agreement? Would you try to find another way to fund and build a new floating dock for larger ships by 2019? And we'll start with Dewey.
There is a possibility that a municipality private partnership could provide us with a new dock option. If in fact what we're working on falls apart, I think that it is one way that we would have to go. And maybe it is time to open up that door and start talking with some individuals and or corporations. But I'm not in a position to start those negotiations or even talk about them.
Dan.
Question is, if the new offering to the citizens was voted down, what would the next step be?
Mm-hmm.
Is that about it, to paraphrase?
Plan B.
To paraphrase. I don't know. It would be curious. I think the only one that was working with me at the table when we very first began this is former Mayor Cochran, who's back several rows. Hi, Tom. And he knows how many different directions we've gone because he's been there since the very beginning, as I. So many different opportunities of meeting an agreement have been discussed. There were things that have been gone over that were deal breakers, that an agreement couldn't be made. So I think to actually clear the board and start listing our items as we see to be absolute need of our acute awareness today, and then as they move into the next day and the next year and the next after that. So I think you'd have to wipe the slate clean and really sit down and have fresh discussion with whoever is new or not at the assembly table, because that's where the folks are that are elected in this community to get themselves up to speed on what all the components are involved in the situation. So those are the folks that you're going to depend on as voters to make sure that they are up to speed on all the different information, everything that's involved, old, middle of the road, new, all of that, and come up with a new approach.
The second part to that question was, would you try to find another way to fund and build a floating dock for larger ships by 2019 if the lease were turned down?
I would put my effort into trying to do anything that would facilitate business in a positive way for the city of Skagway as we, you know, we keep moving along in this industry, and we are as good as any community is in the tourism business, and that is our lifeline at the moment. So, yes, I would absolutely put my energy into that.
Philip.
Well, I don't have a plan B, but Mark in the mayor's candidate made a really good point that it's not just one person making these decisions or coming up with these, it's a team effort. And the current assembly has been working for quite a long time, I think diligently on this. And I'm sure they've thought about contingency plans. I would work very hard with these people. The good news, in addition to that, is that we've got a pretty great port commission who have worked on a lot of these issues, and they're all very qualified and smart folks, and so I would seek to work with them on what we can do as far as seeking funding for an increased size of the dock. Obviously, Skagway's economy is almost entirely based on cruise ship passengers, so that's kind of a must.
Thanks, and if you could get a little closer to the microphone when you're answering, that would be great.
Back, sorry.
Roger?
Yeah, I do actually have a plan B, and what I think, and actually I would say for myself, this would be plan A, not plan B. I pick up on Philip's comment about the Port Commission. We do have a very strong framework there. We've got capable people on it. They've thought about this problem. They've analyzed it. They've debated it. And so I think we have the ability to establish the nucleus of a port authority with the existing Port Commission. And those people will be charged with developing the means to take over and manage our port for the benefit of our Skagway when the current lease expires in 2023. That basically would be it. Of course, in the meantime, off to the other side, then, as David mentioned, we've got to be moving forward with that cleanup, but that would be a separate process that would have to be initiated and followed through in a parallel fashion.
Dave?
Yeah. Well, with me, I have a little bit of an issue with the premise that we're going to need to do something by 2019. It looks like Seattle and Ketchikan both are thinking, and Cruise Lines Agencies of Alaska has indicated that they're not likely to have these ships come into port until they won't be here for 18, 19, or 20. So really, we're looking at being able to do something by 21. One thing that I think would be very beneficial and possible to do would be to offer to sublease from White Pass the footprint that we need to build the dock, build it with our own money and run it ourselves. And, you know, the advantage to this for White Pass, of course, is, I mean, if we're getting $40,000 per ship to tie these larger ships up, they're also getting $40,000 in excursion revenue from each of these ships. So they don't want to see us turning away ships any more than we want them turned away. So that's one plan B. And I completely agree with my earlier statements about separating the cleanup. The cleanup should not be part of this negotiation. It should go on independently. Other things could be done. I mean, like on the cleanup, let's say that, there's a lot of negotiation about, well, you know, we donate, million and a half, White Pass donates 4.5 and this and that. Why not just agree to split the cost 50-50 for the cleanup and agree to binding arbitration to allow them to decide who it is that owes what? And if White Pass thinks they have other responsible parties, let them go after them, you know? That's their right. So, okay.
So this is a audience question. Right now, Skagway is working to, looking at building a dock to accommodate the larger classes of cruise ships. Have you considered a future for Skagway's Harbor that does not include an expansion for larger vessels? Dave, we'll start with you.
Mostly no. I think it's a trend in cruising, and I think that you have to keep pace with the newer class of ships. Now, the newer class of ships with more passengers doesn't necessarily have to translate into, more people on the ground. I mean, there's a limit to what we can handle. We've got other things to deal with that create constraint in this valley, and one of them is the highway and the hours that the border is open. And how about for the general overall take of Skagway? I mean, what about trying to limit the pollution that these ships are spewing off? Let's have them plug in. And if AT&T can't accommodate them, then let's put some generators down on the docks and plug them in. You know, this is an overall experience that that needs to be. Not just the numbers, but the experience has to be better. And so we should be working on both of those as we move forward.
Roger?
Could you repeat the question?
Have you considered a future for Skagway's Harbor that does not include an expansion for larger classes of cruise ships?
Not really. I think we need the floating dock that's been proposed for this larger ship. And I say that for a couple of reasons. I think just in watching the cruise ship industry as I have for the last 30 or 35 years, I think we're on the third or fourth generation of ships. So we're to maintain at least some share of the cruise market here in Southeast Alaska. We need to be able to accommodate at least one of those ships. Having said that, though, there's a real issue sitting out there in our community, and other candidates have sort of touched on it, and that is whether we have the infrastructure in this community to support more people coming into our town, you know, and people have mentioned the highways, people have mentioned the border. I think what comes to my mind is drinking water, sewage, trash disposal, Broadway traffic management. All these things need to be looked at before we can really see whether we can comfortably and accommodate more people in our town. So I would, but yes, we do need at least to have one floating dock, and it needs to be capable of having a ro-ro capability to move heavy equipment, such as for the mining industry up in the Yukon, on and off.
Philip?
Yeah, given Skagway's economy and base for it, I would say mostly no, I haven't, though I may admit to dreaming about fewer folks here. I think it's sort of a given that the dock is going to expand, though I think Monica made a great point that if it doesn't, there are other cruise companies that are coming up or potentially coming up. That's great. But to follow up on David's point about pollution with the larger ships, I think he makes a great point, and I think honestly we could expand on some other lines of questioning beyond just the port, such as quality of life stuff, and how that affects how our cruise ship visitors affect us as residents, not just the few business owners. I think that's something that the city should be talking about as well, along with all of this. You know, if we're going to get more people, we need to start talking about how we're going to deal with those people, not just the visitors, but the people who are here to serve those visitors, the tour guides, the bus drivers, and, you know, how many buses do we really want driving down Broadway? Let's start talking about all that stuff. So anyway, that's that.
Dewey?
Well, I think that the cruise industry will decide if they come or if they don't come. If we have the facility, it's their decision anyway. But I think that anything that we plan down on the waterfront has to be a multi-purpose facility, because we may get some commercial activity from mines. We may get other commercial traffic in the form of containers. So whatever we have down there has to be capable of handling multiple customers.
Thanks. Dan?
Being up to speed on the history of this, when it very first began as an issue, it was because Governor Sean Parnell signed an allocation of a $65 million bond for ADA to build out the ore terminal and facility around it, also put in $10 million out of the governor's budget. And then the assembly and the mayor decided that we were going to propose a ballot to the community to add a $5 million bond to make that $80 million to build out the Gateway project, so that we would have something in the game, if you will. That ballot was voted on as a yes, so the discussions prior to putting a bond of $5 million onto the ballot centered around the fact that we could potentially have ore business going on at a refurbished, redeveloped ore facility with a, you know, a better dock, refurbished, new, what have you. And as well, there would be a component of a floating dock so as to also host the cruise ships as well. These would work in concert, and when they wouldn't, because the window of opportunity would be very close, so it could have been in that situation, but we would be able to accommodate it. But more importantly, if there were going to be two vessels, they could both be docked there at the ore dock. So with the information that the people of this community were voting on was, do you want to approve a $5 million bond that would enhance the ore dock and be able to both host an additional berth as well as deal with ore ships as well? So the people have already told you what they want.
All right, this is just a question for Dan Henry. Twice in the past 2 years, the Alaska Public Offices Commission said you violated state laws with your incomplete candidate financial disclosure forms. What do you have to say to residents who feel you violated the public's trust with your lapses in transparency, and how would you repair that trust?
I prepared a little statement just in case you asked. So it would say, with regard to Roger's complaint, the first one, still on appeal, will reach a conclusion sometime around the middle or end of October. It is based on not reporting my exact income on page 3 of the standard APOC report. I read it and interpreted it to be asking for customers of mine who pay $1,000 or more. I have none. It's $18 for fish and chips and $2 for a Pepsi, 20 bucks at a time. In the same section further down, it asks for the client's name and address. Again, I have none. Now, it occurred to me that APOC does not seek random information. There is a purpose, a motive, which I assumed was to see if there was a possible conflict of interest. Does the official have stock in White Pass, in British Petroleum, as did Bob Bell back in October of 2012? He had failed to list British Petroleum as a million-dollar client and was fined $390. Now, I can understand where if somebody omits having a client such as the magnitude of British Petroleum, there certainly would be a curiosity about voting and whether there would be a conflict of interest. I don't have this class of customer. Not that I don't have classy customers, but not of that level. Surely they are not interested in what my favorite color is or such, and surely it doesn't matter whether I am wildly successful or just do okay. One thing for certain is that the same section I list Skagway Fish Company as my source of income, which is all true. Residents who live here all know that. That is all those that are year-round residents. Also on page 5, I list under business interest that I am owner of the Skagway Fish Company. So two times I list clearly where I derive my income. I had for 15 years earlier from 98 to 2013 never filled in the space either. It was brought to my attention by a woman by the name of July Lamb, who's a representative of APOC, and it had been filled in ever since, seeing that after a half an hour discussion, I relented on my position and told her I would fill it in, and so I did. Now let's choose a simple approach to this complaint. Does anyone base their voting choice on whether I do well or not so well with my business? No, they are going to vote for me if they believe I am an active member of my community who is willing to sacrifice time from that business so as to do city business without conflicts of interest and with a positive energy so as to do the job to the best of my ability. Oh, and they vote for me because I live here year-round and have for 28 years. The second complaint was from Lynn Cameron for not listing my fine to APOC. I'm not an attorney, and I didn't realize that when you have something still under appeal, it needs to be listed. And it did not list the monies owed to the IRS. I told the commission that yes, in my haste to get my candidate paperwork filed, I erred in not filling those items in, which had been broadcast in the entire community in the Skagway News and KHNS. Unless, of course, those are antiquated media vehicles, I would imagine everybody knew. Nonetheless, I filed an amended POFD and asked the city clerk as I did so if there was a bevy of people requesting my POFD. She said that only Roger Griffin, Lynn Cameron, Howard Smith, and Emily Files of KHNS. I've served on the assembly for 19 years, and those are the only ones. Emily Files works for KHNS, and Howard must have chosen against filing a complaint. So that leaves Roger and Lynn. I'll pay $220 to APOC. As I said, it was clearly an oversight of my doing. No appeal. The last one is under review, and I am confident that I will prevail. Roger is under the impression that when White
Dan,
Pass...
Dan, the question was about the two that APOC has made a decision on. So your answer...
You don't want the third one?
No.
Okay.
They haven't made a decision on that
one. No, they haven't. Well,
so
other than
to
reject
the
expedited complaint.
Correct.
That was rejected.
So just to be clear, you're saying that the first one was a misunderstanding and the second one was an oversight.
I think I was clear.
Okay.